This episode is brought to you by Fat Expats. It's the new expat magazine that's coming your way next month. If you'd like to find out more about it, head over to twofatexpats.com. You'll see a pop-up and you can sign up and we'll shoot you some information. Now, we recorded this episode on a lazy Sunday morning. I was in Qatar and Nikki was in Hamburg. And a few hours after we'd finished recording, a friend sent me a text to say there was a little rumor going around our school that it was shutting down. A few hours later, and I realized it wasn't just our school, it was all schools in Qatar. And by the time I'd woken up the next morning, as in this morning, the government had announced that it was closing flights to Qatar residents from 14 different countries. Now, some of those countries are places like the Philippines, Italy, Bangladesh, India, China. And what that means, if you're a Filipino with a work permit and a job in Qatar and you just happen to be in Manila on holidays or on business, you can't currently get back into the country. That means no more 14 days of hotel accommodation where you're in quarantine. It means you're not coming back until, inverted commas, further notice. Anyway, mid-morning, I heard a couple of schools had also closed, and mid-afternoon, it was out. All schools were closed. And just like that, I had a new introduction I never thought I'd have. Hello, my name's Kirsty Rice, and I'm a homeschooling mum. So, as you all know, as expats, there always has to be a plan B. And our plan B looks like this. My youngest and I are heading back to Australia so that I have all of my children in one place with at least one parent. My husband's going to stay put here in Qatar right now, and we just have our fingers and toes crossed that he can join us for spring break in a couple of weeks when things have hopefully calmed down. So next week, I'll be coming to you from Australia. And in the meantime, please enjoy today's podcast while I'm here in Qatar before I was a homeschooling mum. Hello, Nikki Moffat. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Kirsty Rice. How are you? Like fake arm bump to you, fake elbow bump.
Yes. Don't we shake hands with our feet now? Don't we tap?
There are some very good shaking feet videos online that people can get. I'm just worried about the Italians because there's so many kisses and I just don't know how they can go from all the kisses to feet.
So, Nikki, it's Sunday and it means that we are both not in our pajamas and you're dressed and your children are in bed, I imagine. Having teenagers at this stage.
Oh, yes. Before 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning, absolutely. Yes.
But it's nice, but it's also International Women's Day, which I always take very literally and think about the international women in my life. What do you think about an International Women's Day?
No, I do too, because I woke up and I, you know, reach for my phone and check the feed and there was lots of great international women-y things on there. And so I spent a little bit of time having that warm, fuzzy feeling by looking at, you know, some of the memes, some of the videos and some of the things that people posted about fantastic international women.
Mm. My favorite one I saw was, they're kind of tied in together. I didn't realize there's a movie coming out about Helen Reddy, and I saw that there was a trailer for that movie. It's not out yet, but the trailer was released today because, of course, her probably most famous song was
I am woman, hear me roar, numbers too big to ignore.
Anyway, it looks great. The trailer looks fantastic, and I can't wait to see it. But then shortly after sort of watching that and thinking how much I love that song, I then saw that a girlfriend who's moved back to Perth had posted her choir had all sung their own rendition of I Am Woman, but different women's choirs all around Australia. And they were all very normal women, sort of all in great community choirs spread across Australia, and they'd pieced all of their videos together. And it was beautiful. Like, it was absolutely beautiful. So that was my favorite International Women's Day.
Oh, maybe we can put that link in the show notes and then I can have a look at it too.
Yes. All right. I will do. I will do. But yes, I have written about International Women's Day many times, but I do tend to take the perspective of all the international women I know rather than it being an International Day of the Woman.
Well, I guess as an expat, you can look at it both ways. So how's your week been, Kirsty? We've done a little bit of homeschooling here this week. Any homeschooling on the horizon yet in Qatar?
No, our school is still open, much to my youngest son's dismay. He's like, he says, I feel so close. I feel like we're so close. But no, no cases. We're only 14 coronavirus cases or COVID-19. And, yeah, school is on. I think we moved from green to yellow or yellow to green. We went from mildly worried to just worried or whatever. So I'm not sure. But you're back at school. Now, does that mean that the family in question, the student – tested negative?
The student tested negative. The student had never been to school, so that was never an issue that the school was going to close. School closures are based on generally health, education, instructions or requirements in Germany. So our school wouldn't be able to close for a long period of time unless the health department suggested that that was a good idea. And we went to them apparently with that information. There is only specific information you're getting in the media. So now we're getting a lot more information directly from the health authorities. We had a coffee morning this week. I couldn't go because I was working, but apparently it was the most well-attended coffee morning of the year. I said, they're like hand washing on the way in. How did that work? Where somebody came and spoke about the transmission and what the school was doing, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, life goes on, and I think our school's making good decisions around it, but, you know, you just never know what's going to happen. But every day my kids say, check the email, Mum, in case we don't have to go to school.
Yes, well, no, we are definitely still at school, and I think it would have to be a directive, I guess, from the government that the school shut down or that there was a case of an infection at school. I was reading during the week that those in Hong Kong have been told the 20th of April now, which is even longer because I know – so my little niece has now gone into – she's attending the local state school that she's at in Australia because it was just going on and on and on. And, you know, there's only so many activities you can come up with on a day-to-day basis, I guess. But I know that they were thinking that after Easter, which is around, I think this year it's around like the 13th of April, but it sounds like now they're saying the 20th of April. So, geez, those guys have had a big break, haven't they? And so I really wanted to, I guess, give a shout out to those. I had a note from one of our readers, listeners in China during the week who was saying that she's a teacher and that they are finding it really, really tough. And, you know, I think sometimes we sound a bit flippant, you know, with our conversations about it because we're trying to see the light, humorous side of it, right? But I guess if you are knee deep in it in China, you're probably really well and truly over it by this stage. So shout out to our listeners out there. We haven't forgotten you. We are thinking of you. We don't think it's funny. We're just trying to see the bright side of a really, really shitty situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the schools in China were shut for 8 months during SARS, which sort of didn't really hit home at the time. But if they can come in under that this year, then that's a pretty good effort, I'd say.
Yes. Okay, Nikki Moffat, four fat questions.
Kirsty, here's my first question to you. Greg takes a business trip to China and comes home via Iran and Italy. Does he get a welcome home kiss on arrival?
Hell no. Now, what I think is interesting about your question, Nikki, is that there are so many different scenarios if he's coming home from that trip to where home is. Now, if we were in Qatar and he was coming home to Qatar, there'd be no opportunity for a kiss because he would be put smack into quarantine in Qatar. I saw during the week we had a local woman who is a mother of two who lives in the compound sort of across from me. And she had been on a business trip to Rome. And when she went to check in at the airport to come back to Qatar, they said, are you aware that you'll be put into quarantine when you arrive? And she said, no, but okay. Thinking, well, you know, what? How does this work? I have two children. You know, we're talking young school age children and a husband at home. Anyway, sure enough, when she landed in Doha, they whisked her through immigration and she has been taken to a facility where she is being fed three meals a day and there is security on the door downstairs and she is having, you know, she can get things delivered to her. I believe that her husband has delivered her her exercise gear so that she can jump around in her apartment. I think she can order Uber Eats, but those Uber Eats go to the security guard and the security guard, you know, masks up.
Eats what he wants on the way in.
Excuse me. So, yes, that would be what would happen if my husband was returning to me in Qatar. But if we lived in Australia, if you believe the latest reports from Australia, he would be told that he had to self-quarantine. I'd probably be making him sleep outside in the shed. But if he's anything like a bloke I read about during the week, he'd then say, yes, I'll self-quarantine, but I might just head to Woolworths and do the shopping.
The Woolies.
And then if we lived in America, he could be like the other gentleman, Nikki, that you and I were both having a giggle over the article, who was told to self-quarantine and he went out for mixes with the local community and had a few drinks.
And that's the difference, isn't it, between a country that is a little bit less democratic and what we were talking about last week, in that some countries can enforce particular things and other countries can say, you know, you need to go straight home and self-quarantine. And the guy thinks, well, that means Woolies on the way because no one's taking him.
Dear. What about you, Nikki? Would you be giving Sam a big pash at the airport?
Well, I mean, if arrival means at the airport, because there's no pickups that I do these days, but to be honest, he has just come back from 10 days in Auckland and through Dubai and Bali, and the only place that temperature checked him twice each time was in Indonesia, and they're still shaking hands in Auckland. I said, did you shake a lot of hands this week? He said, yeah, I shook a lot of hands. But yesterday the Danes stopped shaking hands. In Denmark, shaking hands has been halted.
Oh, wow.
The government in Denmark has asked mayors to suspend naturalization ceremonies, which since a law was passed in 2018, require a handshake, as in welcome to Denmark handshake. And that can't be overlooked apparently, and so they have to stop naturalization ceremonies and stop handshakes. So I don't know, they might be doing some advanced footwork in Denmark. I'm not sure how that works.
Okay, Nikki, next a question. How do you take time for yourself and look after your own mental and physical health in an expat world?
Well, I think as we said last week, you know, mental health issues in the expat world are very serious and need to be taken seriously. What I would say about how I've done it over the years is it's changed by country, and whether that means by country or whether that means by how old I was at the time or what else I had going on in my life, I think it's probably also impacts that as well. I would say in Hong Kong, I used to go hiking on Saturday mornings and play hockey on Saturday afternoons. So basically I had a Saturday almost to myself where I would just be with other people but just my own, just me. In Durban, I did things like learning to play golf and learning to surf. It's always sort of more physical for me. I'm not very good at sitting and meditating. But in the US, I played tennis four times a week. I belong to three different tennis teams. You know, I just but I would take that time. And then here it's more I have tried to start with the meditation with the 10 minutes a day, just, you know, just start with the breathing, not even listening to any sort of guided things, trying to really get into it. But here I have a friend who lives close by and we live close to the Alster, which is a lake in the middle of Hamburg, and it's 8 kilometres around the edge. So it's sort of a 10K walk if we both leave our homes and go around and come back. So that's kind of what we do here, and we take the dog and we go. And during it, we cover the whole gamut of every single thing to do with ourselves, our lives, our families. There's tears, there's laughter. Sometimes we stop for an alcoholic beverage. Sometimes we stop for coffee. Sometimes we don't stop. And it's just one of those really sort of therapeutic things. And cookbook club's probably the other thing that I take sneaky time for myself. And I don't know, I just take that time as being sort of my own time that I take for that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's been different, I think, by where I've lived. What about you?
Yeah. You know, I think I'm the same in the different locations, but definitely because it's been a different stage of my life. So I think for me, when I was in Jakarta, that baby groups were very much like therapy for me. You know, I did find having a newborn really that it did take over my entire life, and I needed to go and hang out with those other people that were in the same situation to know that I wasn't going mental, and to, you know, that we were all in the same thing together. But, you know, that's very personal though, because I know I had a girlfriend at the time who was in the same baby group, and she hated it because her baby was not a perfect baby by any means, and it almost drove her a little bit nuts being there with all people that appeared to have these perfect babies. So she would have given a very different answer, I would think, than I. But so that's what sort of worked for me in Jakarta, and probably KL, and in Tripoli, I taught myself how to bake, and I found that very therapeutic. And I would have, you know, I became very much the host of things, and would host a lot of stuff at my house and bake and swim. I'm not a runner, but I definitely love swimming. I find swimming very therapeutic, just up and down and up and down. And then when I was in Canada, it was the gym, because the gym had a creche. So it meant that I could take all those babies and toddlers and you could shove them. Like, they used to do these great things. They'd have courses for them to do, you know, that went for an hour and whatever. So I could get myself super organized and sign them up for things and drop them at these courses and then run up and, you know, jump up and down. And I was sort of quite healthy. And then I returned to work, which I think was huge for my mental health, because I'd been out of work for a while by the time I got there. And then in Doha, when I got here, it definitely was writing in my early days. I find writing really therapeutic, and I'm quite cross with myself that I don't do it enough now. If anyone can see Nikki sitting here rolling her eyes at me like, yes, I've told you that.
Not for your mental health, yes, but my enjoyment. Yes.
And I think learning new things, you know, with the writing came that, because I was writing, I set up a blog and I set up a website and I started to learn all these new things, and I started to learn how to write little images, you know, make little images and do certain things. And so I became very much an early adapter of or adopter of technology. And I've kind of got out of that phase, and it's only just recently, Nikki, because, you know, we're trying to put this Fat Expats magazine together, and so I've had to sort of, the other day it was like, you know, I really need to change the pop-up that's on our website so that it's far more simple.
And it is, and it's great.
So it was just, you know, playing around with things. We forget that our kids learn all these things because they sit there and they play around. Yeah. And it's not that they're better at doing technology than we are. It's that they will just sit there and patiently dick around with things until they learn how to do it. So that has been very good. But I think, Nikki, exactly, you and I are similar people. And for me, it is, the biggest thing is friendships and good chats. And, you know, sometimes a good cry with a friend is very similar to when your toddler needs to have a good cry. You know, when your toddler can have a great big tantrum and a tie and then all cry, and then all of a sudden they're a much better person.
Yes.
I think it's the same even for middle-aged women.
It's the same for all, well, for a lot of people, I think. I think if more men even tried to cry more often, it might be good for them too. Kirstie, what about prenups for expats? So hypothetical question, your best mate is British and she's marrying someone from a different country. Maybe it's somewhere in South America or Asia. Maybe it's the Middle East. Probably doesn't matter. Just somewhere a long way away with different laws and different cultures. And she comes to you and says, I love him so, so much. And I'm happy to move to Oman or Dubai or Qatar, but I'm also nervous about my future kids. What if something goes wrong and I want to get them to my home country? Would you suggest a prenup?
Now, this was an anonymous question on the Facebook group. Did you see it?
I saw it and I loved it. What did you?
Yeah.
What did you think of the question? I guess so. Going back to it, so the woman who sent me this question, I said to her the minute she sent it, I said, "Oh my God, that's amazing!" I said, "I can't wait to see what people say to you," because you know I'm laying my cards on the table here. One of my worst case scenarios for my kids are that my children marry someone from a different country and that they take off into the world and they have children and that they are faced with this dilemma, because I have friends that have had this dilemma of they've married someone from somewhere else,
yeah.
The relationship turns, you know, it takes a bad turn and they are in a world of pain of where am I going to live, or I no longer want to live here in this country but I'm stuck here because I can't leave. And, you know, it depends where you are and what the laws are. So, number one, when this person asked this on our Two Fat Expats Facebook group, the first answer seemed to be from a lot of people, I don't think your prenup's going to be valid. And I think what they were holding that up against was if you're operating under the Hague, you know, convention, your prenup probably means nothing because there is standard law. So I'm not sure if a prenup would work, but I also think surely there has to be some good in having some conversation where it's like a prenup, you know, where you're going through those same things and writing them down and working them out together, because I think it's foolish not to talk about these things and discuss it with your partner before you go. I also thought what was interesting, and I've seen this as well, with the first in best dress, someone said that in their experience, whoever has jumped jumped ahead of the game and taken the kids back to whatever has usually won the battle because they've got there. And I have to say, we've interviewed people in our podcast in the past, Nikki, who have admitted that that's what they wished they had done. So we'll need to go back and find it, but we interviewed a Canadian woman who,
yeah,
she separated from her partner here in Doha, and then he managed to keep the child because the child was in their house and he kept the child there, and she has no hope of ever getting that child back to Canada. So I think that's one thing too, is you have to think, well, would you be prepared? Now, a flip side of this, I'm sorry I'm making this answer far too long, but where that doesn't hold up with the Hague Convention is I have a friend in Australia who this happened to him, where his wife, who was Swedish, said to him said that her father was sick and that she wanted to go and see him, and she wanted to take the children back to Sweden to see him for one last time. And she got on a plane and she flew to Sweden and she rang him 2 days later and said, I'm not coming back. Now, that's that whole first in best dress thing, isn't it, where someone takes the child and they get ahead. Well, Sweden's under the Hague Convention. So he was able to fly to Sweden, grab the children and take them back to Australia, and then she had to take it to court. And obviously her doing that, where she'd taken the kids to Sweden, did not look good for her in court, and she lost her children.
Oh,
so gosh. Yes.
It's so hard.
But, you know, it is really, really hard. But I think, you know, you have to ask yourself when you embark on this sort of adventure with someone, you know, it all sounds great in theory of, yes, we're off and we're on an adventure together and we're all having a great time together. How would you cope if you couldn't go home for 5 years or 10 years, you know, or 15 years? And you have to ask yourself that. What do you think, Nikki? What would you do?
Yeah, look, I don't really know. I don't think I could leave my children, but in some countries people don't have a choice, because they lose the sponsorship of the person that they were there with, and like in Qatar, and they don't have another way to stay there. I mean, you don't go into a marriage thinking this is going to happen. That's the whole point of getting married. You don't. It's not a time period contract. Let's get married for 10 years and then see what happens. Let's re-sign the contract at that time. But these are things, and this is why I guess particular
and we never did this, but particular places that you get married or churches require that you have discussions with each other and with the person marrying you before you get married about all these things. You know, it's not just financial base. It's about how would you raise your children? What would you do in the case of this? What would you do in the case of that? How involved will your parents be in raising your children? How involved will your extended family be, et cetera, et cetera? Just to get an understanding. And if you know all that going in, then there are conversations and things you can have. I would like to think that every parent has the best interests of their child at heart, but how you act in that situation is not necessarily, you know, there can be, you know, nasty things done at the time. So, look, I also am of the school, I don't think a prenup would hold up. And I think acting first is also, like that Swedish woman did that with the best of intentions. Well, she was a bit nasty. but in the end, it totally rebounded on her. And while I sounded very sympathetic to her, I wasn't sympathetic to what she did, but I am sad that she lost her children, because I think for any parent, having access to your children is very, very important, because they are massively, you know, they're part of you. You made them. And so you not about you made them, they're your possession, but they are, you know, it's part of your heart living outside your body, and not being able to touch, see or hear them at any stage would be terribly, terribly difficult.
Mm. And people, I mean, you would have seen it too, Nikki. I have seen people do some insane things when it comes to marriage breakups and kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, people that have said, I'm going to show my children all of our text messages, you know, where, or, you know, in a particular case, I know of someone who then reported the parent for pedophilia because they were, you know, just so bitter and twisted and wanted their children so badly. And it came to bite them in the bum as well, because, you know, they ruined their relationship with their children forever. So, yeah, I think people do insane things through anger and fear. And, yeah, you don't see it when you're running off. I'm one of those people. I got engaged to my husband after 3 weeks. We were married in 12. You know, we were madly, you know, badly
in love.
But we did do an incredible amount of talking, and we did talk a lot, and we did go and see one of those, you know, counselors before we got married in the lead up to it, and we did talk a lot about kids and money and, you know, where we'd live and whatever. And interestingly, we've both changed our opinion along the way on a couple of those things, but we're just very lucky that it's all sort of worked out. Touch wood, 21 years this year. but I do think you've got to, yeah, I really feel for those. We had friends in Canada. She was a Kiwi, he was from Holland, and they agreed to live in Canada because neither of them could agree to live in each other's country. Two kids, all worked, but they just knew that the other one would resent the other, you know, but we're in your home, and the other one would, but no, we're in your home. So it was like, we need to start a brand new home, and we need to, and they found, and Canada did make a lot of sense for them in
halfway,
you know, temperatures and and what they were getting, and it worked out. But, oh gosh, yeah, it's really hard. Okay, Nikki, if you had to be at home with your children or other family members for 14 days, and you needed to whip out our recently put together meal plan, what activities or events would you undertake to foster family togetherness and interaction?
Post schoolwork and other work day and family cooking time, I would think that we would need a break. Given we've had a break from each other during the school/working day, we'd have to have some sort of family activity to maintain some sort of interaction with ourselves, between ourselves. So it might be time to get out the new board games from our Christmas trip to Australia. But I am no way getting out Monopoly ever again. My daughter used to love playing Monopoly so much as a child, like as a small child, and I hate that game so much. It's never coming out. But we do have some good brain teasers and some new things. Maybe it's time to learn to teach the kids card games. I don't know. Can you play card games with three players? Maybe we could look into that. But I just think that if we're home all day, like we obviously need to have some sort of outside time, and obviously need to have some sort of outside of screen time, have some sort of interactive game time that we designated.
And this is the thing, isn't it, Nikki? Because with people, you know, putting kids saying, well, okay, there's no school, we're homeschooling, and then you've got to go to work, you've got a husband that travels, you know, it's not like you have a nanny or a, you know, home help that's supervising. How do you, how on earth does anyone make sure their, you know, particularly their teen isn't either on, you know, Facebook, or not that a teen's on Facebook, but, you know, isn't on TikTok. I mean, I would say that if my son had to be homeschooled and I wasn't here, he would become a TikTok expert with him. He already does every dance every day. Yeah, no, it's tough, isn't it? And I just want to, I don't know how this works for people that don't have access to grandparents or help or whatever, and they've still got to go to work.
Yeah, it was. So we had 2 days this week. The first day, my kids just totally blew it off. Their teachers sent them a full load of work for the whole day.
Mm.
They did nothing.
Mm.
They went. One daughter went shopping with her friends. Another one, my son, went out to dinner late with his friends. Sort of hung around downtown as teenagers do. And the second day, I said, "Right, we can't be doing this." So I sat down with them the night before I went to work, and we went through all the emails from the teachers and all the stuff, and we broke it all down, what needed to be done. And then with my son, I said, "Okay, this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to set the Amazon Alexa to make like class times, like, so do 45 minutes and then set a 10-minute break or something. And when you finish a group of work, take a photo and send it to me via WhatsApp so I can see you're actually doing something."
Which is basically more work for you.
I said, because yeah. And then he said, "I don't know how you're meant to be doing all this architecting while you're supervising me remotely." And I said, "Well, one, I'm not an architect, so I don't have to do any architecting. And two, you know, like yesterday, if I come home and it's like yesterday and we have to sit down and start at six, you know, 5 or 6 o'clock after, you know, I've gone shopping, got the stuff for dinner, blah, 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 and you have to do a whole school day from then, that's 6 hours of work. That's midnight, buddy. We don't want to be doing that." So that's how we were sort of rolling. I was dialing it in via the WhatsApp. You know, what are you doing now? Have you done that? And I said, do something, a subject you like, then a subject you don't like, then a subject you like. So there's always something nice coming in on the horizon.
Look, I reckon we'd have a jigsaw puzzle that'd be out on the table constantly for breaks of sort of, you know, we always have a jigsaw puzzle out over the summer that sort of sits there, and people just come along and add a few pieces and disappear, and someone else comes along and adds a few more pieces and disappears, and then it's a frantic rush before we're all about to get on the plane to quickly get it done so we can then rip it all up and put it back in the box. But I think we would do that. I don't know, maybe a bit of charades, but I reckon we'd be rolling out a murder mystery series every few days. We're on to the Dublin murders at the moment, so I think we'd find something, like that and roll that out. Look, something my daughter actually did the other day that I would love, if anyone can talk their child into doing this, because I just thought it was fantastic. She did it for school. And it really was absolutely amazing. So she had mentioned that she'd, you know, done something for English and done quite well. And it was only because she kind of mentioned it right at the end of a conversation. I said, "Oh, can I have a look at that?" Because she said, "Oh, I had to make a little memoir with some video and pictures." And so she'd done it all. I'm guessing that she'd used iMovie. But so she'd done a little memoir of her life, and it really was an absolute treat. And I have since sort of quietly sent it on to my sister and my mother, who both said the same thing. "Oh my God, I was crying." It's just lovely. So if you could talk your kid, if you could say, "All right, we're all going to do one." I don't know how, but maybe you could. I think you'd have to be sort of trying to constantly come up with things. But I would also hope, me being me, that if we had 14 days at home, you could find a way that your house actually looked better, not worse, at the end of the 14 days. So maybe it's a time to declutter and a time to, okay, we're doing a massive, massive, you know, run through your bedroom. We're throwing out every pair of shorts that you've still got from grade 3 and the, you know,
the activity that you've kept that you haven't touched for 3 years and do whatever. So maybe it's a chance to sort of have a big declutter and clear out if everybody's stuck at home.
Good. No, all good thoughts. Now let's make a list on the whiteboard, and then when it happens, let's see what we really do.
So, Nikki, three favorite things.
Well, I'm going to start with Peruvian food, which was an unbefore announced cuisine to me, having never lived in the southern part of the Americas or really been exposed to Peruvian food before. I can't really remember. I don't know if you're at all familiar with it, but apparently everyone in the world eats Peruvian food.
I am not. So what is traditional Peruvian food?
Well, I can't tell you, but I can tell you what I had at a restaurant last weekend. So we had a farewell from work, and they booked a restaurant, and the time they could get a table for 15 people was 10 p.m. I cannot remember the last time I went for a meal at 10 p.m.
Now, I think this is when you remind our listeners that you work with a bunch of millennials.
That's right. I work with a bunch of predominantly 25 to 28-year-olds. And they said, no, you should really come. I said, do you know what happens at 10 o'clock in my house on the weekend? Bed, lights out. So I went along, and it was great. It was served in sort of a tapas style. So more of sort of the Spanish-y cultural way of serving the food. And look, I even don't know what was in some of the dishes. There was lots of sort of creamy, not creamy sauces, but there was a sort of a risotto in a pumpkin-y thing with some pork belly, and then there was some baked meat things and something else. And it was just, I wasn't there when it ordered. I was actually late to the 10 o'clock appointment because I was dealing with my children. So I wasn't there for the ordering. I was just there for the eating, and I really, really enjoyed it. But then I had to show my ignorance of being my age and not having before had Peruvian food. So that's on my list of things to explore further.
Okay. And what are you watching or listening to?
What I'm listening to is a podcast called Newscast. It was formerly called Brexitcast. And it was a group of BBC reporters who are based on the continent and in the UK who did all the reporting over Brexit. So they would have sort of things come up once or twice a week, and then some weeks they'd have four episodes because there'd be a new Brexit news item every day, and they do it on top of their current reporting requirements. So often they're at midnight, you know, because news is broken and they've all finished work, and then they're doing the recording. I believe now it's on TV as well. That's a new thing. But anyway, when Brexit finished, so to speak, or when they wrapped up the end of the Brexit negotiations, they renamed it Newscast. And so they don't have to just talk about Brexit now. They talk about all news from all around the world. And I really enjoy it. I listen to a lot of news-based podcasts, mostly Australian and American. So this is kind of a nice difference. I really enjoy it. I just enjoy the mix of political reporters, and I enjoy what they've got to say. They've usually got a bit of a different viewpoint on the events of the day. And, yeah, I like it.
Cool.
I like it when it pops up in my feed.
I'm watching. What are you watching?
On Netflix, there's a new teen show. I don't know if you see it. It popped up in my, you should watch this, because I'm obviously watching all the teen, I obviously watch all the teen shows. I Am Not Okay With This. And it's a teen show about an awkward teenage girl who has superpowers, doesn't realize she has them, can't control them. But she's got this sort of perfectly awkward, great sort of inner monologue where it's all just awkward. She's got all these teenage thoughts, you know, going on in her head. My son did drop in for about 10 minutes of one episode and watched it with me, and we didn't talk. He just watched it. And then he said, well, who's the stereotypical lesbian in love with her best friend? Like, what's her deal? And none of that story was shown while he was watching. I was like, oh, he's just nailed that whole thing. But I really enjoy six or eight episodes or whatever. And he said, oh, yeah, I might watch that. So what about you?
Well, as mentioned, Dublin Murders. We're watching Dublin Murders at the moment on SBS, but I'm sure you can get it on iTunes or any of those, because it was released, I think, in 2018. So it's weird because it was set in 2006, and I don't know why they did that, why it had to be. Maybe that's going to become apparent to me later. But
Yeah, I just didn't understand. Like, it doesn't seem, you know, it's obviously not based on a true story. So I just didn't know why they had to set it at around that time. Anyway, I am really enjoying it. I think because we had watched The Stranger on Netflix.
Yes, The Stranger, and you're waiting to finish the end, the last two episodes.
Yes, and loved it. So we'd watched The Stranger, and then it was like, okay, we need to find something like The Stranger. We'd already watched Is It Safe, which was written by the same people, at a, you know, with the same sort of, you know, that whole English village, you know, thing. So we'd already seen that. So we went to Dublin Murders, and yeah, we're up to episode three of that. And yeah, I'm liking it. And if you want to watch something that you can watch with a tween that's not, you know, too gory or too, you know, too much, it's fine. So far, I'm up to episode three, and yeah, we've all been watching it together. But I did watch on the plane, I watched Judy, you know, Renee Zellweger.
She won the
playing
Oscar,
Judy
right?
Garland. Yeah, and she was great, and it, yeah, it really was. Have you watched it?
I haven't watched it, but it's on my list because I always like to watch the movie that the best Oscar or the best actress or actor comes from, but it seems like it's a bit grim. Like, the story sounded a bit grim to me. Was it a bit depressing or
Yeah. Look, I think I realized how I think I realized how much I didn't know about Judy Garland. Like, for some reason I'd factored in Liza Minnelli, but I didn't realize there was this whole other family that came later. So in it, you know, by the time this movie's made, Liza Minnelli is very much tracking in her own stardom, and she's an adult with her own house and her own partner and her own whatever. But Judy Garland has these two smaller children, which I don't think you ever hear about or see.
No.
And, yeah, so she has two smaller children that she's basically, you know, staying in five-star hotels but getting kicked out for not paying the bill and having to sort of uproot these children and go to another place and another place. And I kept thinking, oh, is that, you know, at the beginning you're watching thinking, is that child meant to be Liza Minnelli? And then you discover that, oh, no, Liza Minnelli's an adult. You know, these are your other younger children. So I didn't realize that. And I also didn't realize that the whole the uppers and the downers and the pill popping came from her days of being a child star, that they were giving them to her.
Yeah.
Her mother was well aware of it, and that they were giving them to her to either stay thin or to get to sleep or to wake up, you know. And you just see that she was just in an awful position as a child, and that she really did love Mickey Rooney and it appeared to be an unrequited love, if you believe what you see in the movie. So, yeah, it was a bit grim, but also fascinating to watch, and to watch from that English perspective, because you're seeing the English watching the American, you know, and the American watching the English. So that was quite good. Now, my other favourite thing for this week was the Melbourne Fatterati meetup. So on the Big Fat Expats page, yes, they posted a pic of them all together. And I said at the time, you know, look, I'm not just saying this, but you guys look like such a good bunch. But they really did look like such a good bunch. And I had serious FOMO. I wish I would have been there. They just looked like a really good group, and there's a lot of them. So, yeah, if you're in Melbourne, please reach out to the Big Fat Expats, come into the group and ask about the Melbourne people, because they are a good bunch and they do get together and they do have a good time and they seem to really enjoy each other's company. And I just think, you know, it's just really nice to see them all together.
Go the global Fatterati.
Okay, Nikki, are we done? I think that's us for the week.
We're done. And you know what, Kirstie? I think this is going to be one of your favourite episodes ever because I think it's going to track in at a time you're going to be happy with.
Excellent. Good chat.
Good chat. Speak again soon. Bye. May all the schools stay open. Bye-bye.